Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading Trump Visit, special edition of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, July 30th, 2020. I love this state. Under the picture of President Trump, the caption reads, President Donald Trump talks to a crowd Wednesday at a Double Eagle Energy oil and gas operation in front of Latshaw Rig number 43 in Midland County. Trump emphasizes support for energy industry. During Midland visit, President signs permits to export Texas crude to New Mexico. By Mella McEwen. Buoyed by an enthusiastic audience gathered inside a tent at Double Eagle Energy's drilling rig in Midland County, President Donald Trump sought to buoy his standing with Texas and the energy industry. During his 16th visit to Texas since he took office, and his first to West Texas, the president announced he was taking another bold action by signing four permits for pipeline and railroad infrastructure along the Texas border that will allow for Texas crude to be exported to Mexico. It's something that has been sought for many years, and we got it done, the president said. Trump praised the hardworking men and women of Double Eagle and the rest of the energy industry for making the nation the number one energy superpower anywhere in the world, and thanked Double Eagle founders Cody Campbell and John Sellers, who serve as co-chief executive officers, for hosting the gathering. In introducing Trump, Campbell said the president is a great advocate of the industry. He knows the industry supports countless jobs, Campbell said. He stands shoulder to shoulder with us to oppose those on the radical left who are against the industry. Trump told the gathering that as long as he is in office, the nation would remain the top oil and natural gas producer in the world. I'm here to celebrate the incredible achievement of the industry and to oppose the radical left who want to tear down the industry and make the U.S. subservient to foreign energy, he said. I'm here to defend your jobs. I'm here to defend the Lone Star State. I love this state. The president listed the actions he has taken to boost the energy industry, including approving soon after taking office the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines, opening acreage in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to exploration, and opening public lands to exploration. Just recently, he said, he extended until 2050 the authority to export liquefied natural gas. He said that since he took office, Permian Basin oil and natural gas production has more than doubled, while at the same time the nation's air pollution is down. We will never cease being the leader in protecting our environment, he said. Under my administration, the U.S. will have the cleanest air and the cleanest water. And because of this proactive policies, jobs from countries with lower environmental standards, like China, are coming back to the U.S., Trump said. When crude oil prices crashed this spring, I got Saudi Arabia and Russia to cut 10 million barrels of production per day, he said. I got OPEC Plus and Mexico to agree to cuts. So we're okay now. We're back. We were close to losing a powerful industry, but now we're back and we're going to keep expanding. Saudi Arabia, Russia, Mexico, OPEC Plus all came together to save the industry. This action stabilized world oil prices that were in free fall and saved the industry. He warned of efforts by the far left to demolish the energy industry and the U.S. economy by banning hydraulic fracturing, banning oil and gas leases on federal lands, and ultimately ending the use of fossil fuels. Calls for net zero carbon emissions by 2050, which he said is impossible, would render homes valueless and end the use of natural gas. Their agenda, he said, would end U.S. prosperity, eliminate millions of jobs, and turn the U.S. into another Venezuela, which once was one of the richest countries in South America with its large oil and gas reserve, but now doesn't have any water, food, or medicine, he said. Tell Washington politicians who want to abolish energy, don't mess with Texas, he said, concluding, I will never let Texas down. Reporter's Notebook, Editor's Note. Oil editor Mella McEwen is one of the Reporter Telegram staff members who covered President Trump's visit to Midland and Odessa. By Mella McEwen. It's been warm, but luckily there's a nice breeze. Air Force One is an awesome sight. Watched the President greet Governor Greg Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, former Governor Rick Perry, and some students from Permian and Odessa high schools. We marveled at all the people lining the roads and waving at the media vans. Leisurely drove down I-20 to the Odessa Marriott. Along the way, some people stood at attention. The Craddocks, Tom, Nadine, and Christy, were seen waiting to enter the luncheon. The press area was quite busy as journalists filed their stories. The first requirement for everyone was a COVID test. Luckily, they didn't stick the swab up as far as I had dreaded. A half hour later, I got a negative result and a wristband. A short time later, it was on the airport to where a drug-sniffing dog checked all the gear and we were all wanded, magnetic-o-meter, before going to the tarmac. Covering a presidential visit is a lot of hurry up and wait. Sat in the media van at least 15 minutes waiting to head out to the drilling rig. Driving to the rig, the caravan again encountered large crowds as it drove down FM 307 through Greenwood and then down County Road 1120 to the rig. The caravan kept going and going, including past two other rigs, before arriving at the Double Eagle rig. Once there, the president walked up on stage where he posed with executives from Double Eagle, while noting that it was hot and windy. He then returned to his vehicle, which drove around to the large tent that had been set up and where several hundred people were waiting, while members of the media hustled across the drill site to the tent. Inside was a campaign-like atmosphere, complete with music. Supporters line up to catch glimpse of Air Force One by Caitlin Randall. In anticipation of President Donald Trump's arrival Wednesday, Midlanders lined LaForce Boulevard and filled the parking lot outside Midland International Air and Spaceport. The president landed at about 11:45 a.m. Wednesday, a few minutes behind schedule. Just outside the tarmac, his supporters gathered with signs, Trump 2020, flags, and even a cardboard cutout of Trump. Some supporters said they thought his visit was evidence of a commitment to helping the Permian Basin get back on its feet. We need to get all these people back to work because Midland right now, it's a ghost town, said John Lucasi, who immigrated from Romania 20 years ago. He said Trump is the perfect businessman to help Midland recover from the pandemic and subsequent oil bust. He knows how to get the economy where we were a couple of months ago before COVID, Lucasi said. He's going to fix the problem. David Perez drove in from Albuquerque to sell flags to those in the crowd wanting to show their support. The Trump supporter said he drives across the country selling flags in the cities Trump visits. Because of him, we are able to do this and make some money for dinner, Perez said. The president has never been any better. Trump exited Air Force One followed by U.S. Senator Ted Cruz and Congressman Mike Conway. He was greeted by several people waiting on the tarmac, including Governor Greg Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and Republican nominee for Congress August Pfluger. A football player from Permian High and a cheerleader from Odessa High also were waiting to greet the president. A football player from Permian High and a cheerleader from Odessa High also were waiting to greet the president. Trump stopped to sign football helmets the students brought before waving to the members of the media and leaving the airport with his motorcade. Pfluger told the Reporter-Telegram that Trump's visit is historic for the Permian Basin, as he is the first president to visit the area in over a decade. It's also an opportunity for the president to hear from the region's independent operators, according to Pfluger. It signals President Trump's understanding of what oil and gas means to this country and how important energy independence and energy security is, he said. Trump visited a Double Eagle rig in Odessa and participated in a roundtable discussion focusing on the oil and gas sector. Pfluger said he believes Trump will continue fighting to give the U.S. a level playing field with Saudi Arabia and other oil-producing countries. He is committed to the energy industry and protecting it and making sure that regulations don't overcome the business and the innovation, he said. Report: Basin Events Could Raise More Than $7 Million by Jordan Fabian, Kevin Crowley, and Jennifer A. Dlui. Bloomberg. President Donald Trump was looking to deep-pocketed energy barons to help jumpstart his re-election campaign on Wednesday during a stop in Texas. In fact, the event were expected to raise $7 million for Trump victory, according to a GOP official. That is more than double the $3 million then Republican nominee Mitt Romney reportedly raised at 2012 fundraiser at the Petroleum Club. Trump was raising money for the Republican National Committee and his campaign at a pair of fundraisers in the West Texas city of Odessa before visiting nearby Midland to deliver a speech at Double Eagle Energy Holdings, LLC, the White House said. He also toured an oil rig for the first time as president. Trump has a mixed record addressing oil industry priorities, making his trip all the more crucial. Although he's celebrated American energy dominance, a theme he touted in his speech, he isn't a conventional oil-backing Republican president in the mold of George W. Bush, who was raised in Midland and made a career as an oil man like his father before moving to the White House. Promises to assist the industry have long been among Trump's talking points, but getting them across the finish line is a recurrent problem, said Dan Eberhardt, a Trump donor and chief executive of drilling services company Canary Drilling Services, LLC, which operates near Midland and Odessa. The Permian Basin is one of the country's richest oil and natural gas areas and doubles as a major source of campaign cash for the GOP. Political donations from people working in Midland and Odessa are more than triple the level seen in 2016, and many top donors are prominent energy figures. Trump needs to tap into that money. The president saw a 61% drop in donations from big-dollar donors in the second quarter. Federal Election Commission records show Trump Victory, the joint fundraising organization for the president's re-election campaign, and the Republican National Committee that can take in checks of as much as $580,600, raised $27 million in the second quarter, down from $64 million in the three previous months. The slump came just as Biden fired up his own big donor fundraising, allowing him to raise $282 million in the second quarter, topping Trump's $266 million haul. Political donations from residents of Midland and Odessa stand at $15.6 million since the beginning of 2019. More than three times higher than at the same point in the previous general election cycle, according to data from the FEC. Javed Anwar, the Pakistan-born CEO of Midland Energy Incorporated, far and away tops the list as the biggest donor in the two cities. He and his wife Vicky Anwar contributed $2.3 million to Trump and other Republicans since the beginning of last year. Other major donors from the Permian Basin include the Scarborough family, which has owned vast tracts of land since the 19th century, and Tim Dunn, CEO of oil producer CrownQuest Operations, LLC, and a well-known fiscal conservative who runs libertarian advocacy groups. Double Eagle Energy, the company that operates the drill rig Trump visited, is a private equity-backed venture run by co-CEOs Cody Campbell and John Sellers, both 38. Campbell and Sellers are two of the most high-profile shale-anals who made a fortune by getting in early on the shale boom, flipping leases, and buying up drilling land in the Permian Basin before larger operators came in, paying top dollar for a slice of the action. The Fort Worth-based pair have made in excess of $500 million, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, and became Republican donors as their wealth grew. Since 2017, Campbell and Sellers have combined to give $268,300 to Republicans, FEC record show, including $62,500 to Trump's re-election efforts. That's more than executives at bigger Permian producers like publicly traded Diamondback Energy Incorporated and Pioneer Natural Resources Companies, whose CEOs each gave less than six figures to federal campaigns and PACs during that period. With coronavirus raging, petroleum demand down, and prices plummeting, times are much tougher for the oil and hydraulic fracturing business. Campbell said in an interview that he planned to speak to Trump about the discrimination our industry is facing from the financial industry, referring to the difficulty of obtaining loans. Double Eagle Energy didn't take government stimulus money, but other smaller entities that Campbell and Sellers invest in did. One of them, Double Eagle Natural Resources, received a loan of between $350,000 and $1 million, according to governmental data. Energy industry leaders have complained that despite his supportive rhetoric, Trump has routinely prioritized other segments of the U.S. economy, including coming to the defense of coal at the expense of natural gas and adopting tariffs to spur American steelmaking that caused pain for oil producers. There were also disappointed in his decision to forego a chance to expand offshore oil and gas leasing in the eastern Gulf of Mexico, amid concerns it would hurt his chances of re-election in Florida. Other efforts to assist the industry have been blocked in court. Trump was plotted for personally intervening this spring to help broker a global pact to cut oil output amid the collapse in demand. But even as he pressed Saudi Arabia and Russia to slash crude production, the president frustrated industry leaders by touting low oil and gasoline prices as a tax cut for consumers. And while the administration has weighed proposals to help producers, like paying them to leave oil in the ground, little has gone according to plan, Eberhard, the Canary Drilling Service executive, said. During his speech, Trump claimed credit for the U.S. energy boom by citing his administration's move to cut regulations, streamline permitting, and encourage private investment in energy infrastructure. Trump's campaign has downplayed the chances of a victory in Texas for Biden, whom this month linked the issue of climate change to the fight for racial justice. Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien dared the Biden campaign to pour money into the state, telling reporters last week, "I'll even buy their first ad." Overall, Trump has done a really good job supporting our industry over the past 4 years and is best placed to keep domestic oil production alive, Campbell said. there's such a threat against us. Johnson's Save Lee High School name petition was disabled by Stuart Doran. The petition created by Midland County Judge Terry Johnson to keep the name of Robert E. Lee High School has been disabled because of inappropriate content. Johnson created the petition on the website https://moveon.org after the Midland ISD school board voted Monday night to rename the high school. However, those attempting to reach the petition on Wednesday evening were met with the message that it was disabled. The page also stated, "If you create this petition, you can sign into the site to access your dashboard, learn more, and fix this issue." Johnson said Wednesday, "They said they couldn't allow my wording. I changed some and am waiting on approval." The petition is addressed to the Midland School Board and stated, "Save my history," and that history is not for anyone to censor. To cave in to the current political correctness is to keep it going. When asked about the petition, Johnson told the Reporter Telegram in an email, "I graduated there in 73. Hate to see my history erased. Not mad, just felt like I should allow others to have a voice along with me." Coronavirus cases top 2,000 mark in Midland County by Stuart Doran. For the third straight day, the number of coronavirus cases reported in Midland County totaled at least 80. The Midland Health Department reported that 80 new cases were reported, driving the total during the pandemic over the 2,000 mark. In addition to 2,069 cases, there have been 40 COVID-19 related deaths, according to the Health Department. The 40th death was reported Wednesday, a male in his 60s who was being treated at Midland Memorial Hospital died Wednesday, according to the city. Two more deaths were reported late Tuesday night. Both were males in their 70s, and both were being treated at Midland Memorial. The city reported both died Tuesday. The Midland Health Department also reported 711 self-isolating cases and 1,141 patients who have recovered. Another 69 cases are under investigation, and 108 were listed as unable to locate, refused. This week, the Midland Health Department has reported 262 cases. Last week, the number of cases reached 418, the first time there were 400 or more cases in Midland County in 1 week. Should there continue to be an average of 84 cases reported over the next 2 days, as was the case Tuesday and Wednesday, that will lift the weekly total to 430. Texas passes grim milestone of 6,100 COVID-19 deaths. Associated Press, Austin. Texas passed a grim milestone of more than 6,110 deaths caused by the coronavirus, with 313 newly reported fatalities Wednesday. The stark figures pushed Texas' death total to 6,190 since the state recorded its first COVID-19 deaths in early March. Death tolls escalated rapidly in recent weeks as the state saw a surge of newly confirmed cases and hospitalizations in June and July. Texas passed the 6,000 death marks the same day the U.S. passed 150,000 deaths, the most of any country in the pandemic. Texas also reported 9,595 COVID-19 patients in the hospital Wednesday and 9,042 newly confirmed cases, the most in nearly a week. The true number of cases in Texas is likely higher because many people have not been tested, and studies suggest people can be infected and not feel sick. The state's rolling rate of positive tests continued a slow decline as it fell to 12.6%, its lowest mark in more than a month. Texas is already one of the nation's virus hotspots, and Governor Greg Abbott has said he's concerned that last week's hit from Hurricane Hanna across South Texas caused more virus spread if families or friends gathered in groups to ride out the storm or evacuate. State health officials changed how they compiled fatality data this week by using the cause of death listed on death certificates instead of waiting for local and regional public health authorities to report them. Death certificates are required by law to be filed within 10 days. Only deaths directly attributed to the COVID-19 virus are counted. This method does not include deaths of people who had COVID-19 but died of an unrelated cause, health officials said. For most people, the coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough, that clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia and death. The vast majority of people recover.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, July 30, 2020. Funds for canines. Dogs Rescue RS volunteers and board members break ground for a new facility June 15 in Gardendale. The nonprofit needs $28,000 to complete the project, and a fundraiser is ongoing. Gun raffle to benefit Dog Rescue. Dogs Rescue RS is raising money for its new facility, a gate, cement pad for the building that was donated, and plumbing for the building. Volunteers have built a fence around the property, and the site has been prepared for the concrete pad. The nonprofit's vice president, Dana Tinley, said they need $28,000 to complete the facility site, which will house animals until they are sent to other shelters out of state. The rescue is hosting the 13 Gun Bazaar raffle with Amazing Grace Pet Rescue. 13 guns are being raffled. Tickets are $40 each, or 3 for $100. Names of the 13 winners will be drawn at 9 p.m. Saturday on Facebook Live. Tickets can be purchased via PayPal at https://www.paypal.me/shawnbalair69 or Venmo at DRRU-19. Guns may be picked up from Alley Outdoors. Donations may be sent to Dog Rescue RS, 4416 Briarwood Avenue, Suite 110, PMV 17, Midland, Texas 79707, or visit GoFundMe.com. Tax-free weekend is August 7 through 9. School will be starting next month, and that means it's time for back-to-school shopping. The sales tax holiday in Texas is August 7 through 9. Items that qualify as tax-free include most clothing and footwear, school supplies, and backpacks. Purchases may be made in-store or online, according to the State Comptroller's Office website. For more information and for a complete list of items that may be purchased tax-free, go to comptroller/texas.gov. Doug Russell Pool is open today. The city's pools, Doug Russell and Washington Family Aquatic Center, are open on alternating days during coronavirus pandemic. Doug Russell is open today for 2 3-hour sessions, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Passes are $3 and go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before opening. Passes are good only for the day of purchase. MISD extends summer meals. Midland ISD summer meal service has been extended through August 14 at three campuses, South, De Zavala, and Bonham Elementaries, according to the district. At the other eight sites, the service ends Friday. Breakfast and lunch meals will be available for grab and go 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Meals are available for any child 18 or under, or those who receive services from school. The locations where meals end Friday are Bowie, Bunch, Burnett, Rusk, Santa Rita, and Yarborough Elementary Schools, Fire Station No. 4, and Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park. Menus are available at MidlandISD.net under Child Nutrition Services. Clinics offer coronavirus tests. Midland Memorial Hospital, 68 Nurse, www.midlandhealth.org. Mobile Testing Center at West Campus for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access, 68 Nurse or 432-221-1111. Cash price for antibody testing, $50. Signature Care, 699-2601, ercare24.com/Midland. Cash price for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for antibody test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for both COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR, and antibody, $300. If patients are insured, we'll need to pay copay. Rest will be billed to insurance. Copay waived for first responders. West Tex Urgent Care, 3401 Greenbrier Drive, 201-1403, westtexurgentcare.com. Cash price for virtual visit for COVID-19, $75. Cash price for nasal swab, PCR test, $70. Cash price for COVID-19 antibody test, $50. All COVID-19 testing must begin with a virtual visit. Steward Medical Group COVID-19 testing. Swab tests by appointment only. Complete Care Midland, 1701 North Loop 250 West, Midland.
Obituaries. Charlie Dan Clark. Charlie Dan Clark passed away on Thursday, July 23, 2020. He was born on June 2, 1983, in De Leon, Texas, to Danny Clark and Tawana Clark. He grew up in Comanche, Texas, until he moved to Midland, Texas, in 2003. Charlie married Casey James Clark in 2006. Together, they had three beautiful daughters, Liney Grace Clark, Peyton Kennedy Clark, and Sydney Quinn Clark. Charlie was loved by many and will be missed by everyone who knew him. He is survived by his wife and three daughters, his father and stepmother, Danny and Kathy Clark, his stepfather, Kevin Cox, several brothers and sisters, and many nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his mother, Tawana Clark, and all of his grandparents. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, August 1, 2020, at the Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. James Jim H. Nelson, Jr. James Jim H. Nelson, Jr., age 62, passed from this world July 22, 2020. A longtime resident of Howard County, Jim was a beloved son, cherished by his children, grandchildren, and a host of friends. The stone of the late James H. Nelson, Sr. and Janice Reeves of San Angelo, Texas, brothers Brent Nelson of Odessa, Texas, and Matthew Kurt Nelson of San Diego, California. Children Jamie Nelson of Los Angeles, California, Eliza Jane Nelson of Fort Worth, Texas, and Courtney Dane Nelson of Greenville, Texas. Three grandchildren and his loyal forever, Linda Ray. Memorial services will be decided at a later date. Jason Flores. Our loved one, Jason Flores, is now resting in the arms of our Lord and Savior. He passed on Sunday, July 26, 2020, in a Midland hospital at the age of 40. Jason was born March 14, 1980, in Big Springs, Texas, to Jose Luis and Lucretia Flores. He graduated from Stanton High School in 1998 and worked as a warehouse supervisor for NG Resources. He is preceded in death by his sister, Sylvia Simundio. He is survived by his parents, Jose Luis and Lucretia Flores of Stanton, one brother, Jose Luis Jr. and Becky of McAllen, four sisters, Raquel Escamilla and Kelvin of Stanton, Lupe Delgado and Jose of Sacramento, California, Antonia Flores of Stanton, and Erica Flores and Matthew of Midland. Numerous aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews. The family will receive friends from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, July 30th, 2020 at Gilbreth Funeral Home in Stanton. Mask required and time is limited per visitor. Due to CDC requirements, a funeral service will be held only for the family at 2 p.m. Friday, July 31st, 2020 at Iglesia Baptista Calvario in Stanton. However, friends will be able to pay their respects at Evergreen Cemetery following the service. Mask required. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made. Jesus Jose Urias. Jesus Jose Urias Catuti of Midland, Texas, passed away on July 25, 2020 in Odessa, Texas. He was born in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, on December 17, 1956, to Jesus V. Urias and Josefa F. Urias. He moved to Midland, Texas in February 1972 and became a bricklayer. He had children from his first marriage, Yolanda Flores and Eddie Urias, Nancy Urias and Maui, and Jesus J. Urias II, J.J. and Jessica. He later on met Idalia Ramirez Urias in 1999 and got married. They then had two children of their own, German Urias Mercedes and Ariana Urias. He also had 16 grandchildren, three great-grandchildren out of Midland, Texas. He is survived by his wife, Idalia, and all his children, three sisters, Lucia Urias of Juarez, Norman and Olivia Urias, both of Midland, five brothers, Guadalupe and Lupe Urias of Juarez, Israel Urias of Minnesota, Alonzo Urias of Fort Stockton, Miguel and Faustino Urias, both of Midland. He is preceded in death by both parents, Jesus and Josefa Josefa, Urias, brothers Raul, Alberto, and Arturo Urias, and a grandbaby, Heavenly Urias. Viewing will be Wednesday, July 29th, 2020 at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home, 405 North Terrell Street, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th, 2020, Rosary will be held at 7 p.m. Friday, July 31st, 2020, Memorial Services will be held at St. Stephen's Catholic Church at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Judy Scott Hanks. Judy Scott Hanks, 73, of Midland, passed away on July 27, 2020, in Lubbock, Texas. Judy was born on January 3, 1947, in Roscoe, Texas, to Raymond and Aletta McFarland Scott. She grew up with her two sisters, Nelda and Kay. She graduated from Blackwell High School in 1965. After moving to Midland, she met the love of her life, Dan Hudson Hanks, and the two were married in Midland on October 16, 1972. She worked for several years as a secretary for the Department of Public Safety in Midland County. When her son Hudson was born, she knew it was her mission to be a homemaker, which she did wonderfully for the remainder of her life. She is preceded in death by her parents. Judy is survived by her loving husband, Dan, son Hudson, Hanks, and wife, Leanne, grandchildren, Michaela and Riley Hanks, sisters, Nelda Cranford and family, and Kayla Kovich and family, numerous nieces, nephews, cousins, and extended church family. Graveside services will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, July 31st, 2020, at Fairmount Cemetery in San Angelo, Texas. Services will be available to watch live via the Harper Funeral Home Facebook page, which can be found at www.facebook.com/HarperFH and Crematory. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 1st, 2020, at Northwestern Baptist Church, 3901 Mockingbird Lane, Midland, Texas, 79707, with Pastor Bob Heiling officiating. Services will also be available to watch remotely at www.nwbcmidland.org. In lieu of flowers, please make donations in Judy's name to Northwestern Baptist Church. Friends and families can sign the online register book at www.harper-funeralhome.com. Justine Ethel Boren. Justine Ethel Boren of Midland, Texas, passed away on Wednesday, July 22, 2020, in Odessa, Texas, at the age of 95. Born January 22, 1928, in Jonesboro, Arkansas, to Ani Patterson and Bonnie B. Hendricks, Justine was raised in and around the Valley View area of Craighead County. Justine graduated from Jonesboro High School, class of 1942, and married Leonard Douglas Bishop, Sr., from the Herman community in Arkansas. Justine is preceded in death by Leonard Douglas Bishop, Sr., second husband Robert E. Boren, and brother Wayman E. Patterson. She is survived by her three children, Leonard Douglas Bishop, Jr. of Bella Vista, Arkansas, Karen J. Norton of Spring Branch, Texas, and Daryl R. Bishop of Midland, Texas. Two grandchildren, Lori Stevens and husband Trevor at Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and Justin Norton and wife Brandy of Spring Branch, Texas. Six great-grandchildren and one great-great-grandson. A graveside service will be held on Saturday, August 1st, 2020, beginning at 10 a.m. at McDonald Crematory in Jonesboro, where Justine will be laid to rest beside her loving mother, Bonnie Hendricks. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made in Justine's honor to the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital by visiting their website, www.stjude.org, or by calling 800-805-5856. We are complying with the Arkansas Department of Health guidelines and limiting indoor funeral and visitation attendance to 50 individuals at one time, while observing social distancing guidelines. All attendees must furnish and wear their own mask before entering the building. Death notices. Naomi Hall. Naomi Hall, 93, passed away Friday, July 24, 2020, in Midland, Texas. Naomi was born on July 10, 1927, to Martha and Hubert Wells in Himley, Texas. A visitation will be held Thursday, July 30th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. A funeral will be held on Friday, July 31st at 2 p.m. at Cotton Flat Baptist Church in Midland, with burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.